So I want you to join me for a moment because I'm standing on the very top of Enchanted Rock. And from here the view extends for miles and miles. There are hills and scrubby trees and little plateaus, and you can see the occasional ranch house or barn and a few roads, most of which are dirt. You can see so much from the top of this big old lump of granite. And on this day, this particular day, there wasn't a single cloud in the sky. So it was blue, perfectly blue, the sky was. That special shade of blue you see in the sky on clear days that doesn't exist anywhere else, I don't think. And so I look down from the slope of this big pink rock, and across to the other peaks, there's Little Enchanted Rock, and there's Buzzard's Peak. And there's a small stream that usually has no water in it at all. But on this day, it had a little water because it had rained just the night before. So the water was gently flowing, and the flowers are in bloom. Also a rarity there, but with water comes flowers. And there are little fish swimming that I saw when I started to climb up to the top. But of course, I can't see from there. But I know they're in there. And up on top, the wind hits you with a lot of force. There wasn't really any wind down in the valley, but up here it's, I don't know, 30, 40 miles an hour. So even in 90-degree weather, like today maybe, it feels cool up there. And on top of this seemingly smooth piece of rock, there are actually tiny oases. There's a stubby tree that's growing in a pool of dirt and water, a little depression in the rock that catches the water. And if you look closely, there are tiny minnows in this water too, which of course started me to thinking, how did minnows get up here 1,000 feet above any other water? But there they are, swimming away. And so I was standing there on top of the world, taking it all in, taking in that sense of something gigantic and amazing and seeing everything that is so much more than I can hold in my life or my mind. Standing there, taking it all in and not thinking about anything, because I don't want to speak for you, so I'll speak for myself, but I'm thinking all the time. I have these thoughts just bouncing around in my head that I wish I could banish more easily, some of the time anyway. I think a lot of us share some of that, at least. Our world doesn't have the time or freedom to just take in what's around us. To take it in and hold it with a sense of awe. I like that word awe, though it's a little awkward to say awe. And I like that we get both the words awful and awesome from it. Because awe means both terrible and frightening and amazing and wonderful, and in all of those senses, something larger and deeper than any of us could easily comprehend, perhaps comprehend at all. In fact, it's this sense that the Jewish scriptures speak of God. What we often hear translated as fear of God is better translated as awe, in both the awful and the awesome sense. For many of us, we experience this sense of awe perhaps in the natural world or when we think of the universe. It's in the majesty of nature that we experience something like awe. The creation all around us, something to marvel at, something I've been finding more and more in my life in this last year in the Bay Area where there seems to be so much of it to admire. I mentioned a little bit of this a few months ago when I had a similar experience in the darkness and the night sky out near our house in Pinole on Castro Ranch Road, in which it's incredibly dark at night, despite the fact that we're in the midst of this huge metropolitan area. I've had a glimpse of this too since we moved out here and visiting the giant redwoods at Muir Woods. And since it's Father's Day today, I'm especially reminded of the experience of meeting each of my children moments after they came into the world. Awe indeed. Our tradition has a long tradition, Unitarian Universalism, of thinking and talking about awe and nature. Henry David Thoreau, the famous writer who himself grew up in a Unitarian household, he writes extensively about nature. Perhaps you've read some of it. He writes his feelings about it. He is captivated especially by how different it is from the things we usually see and know. He says this at one point about nature. This is from The Maine Woods. He says, "It is difficult to conceive of a region uninhabited by people. We habitually presume their presence and influence everywhere. And yet we have not seen pure nature unless we have seen her thus vast and drear and inhuman, even though in the midst of cities. Nature was here something savage and awful, though beautiful. I looked with awe at the ground I trod on to see what the powers had made there, the form and fashion and material of their work. This was the earth of which we have heard, made of chaos and old night. Here was no garden, but the unhandselled globe. It was not lawn, nor pasture, nor mead, nor woodland, nor lea, nor arable, nor wasteland. It was the fresh and natural surface of the planet Earth. As it was made forever and ever, so nature made it, and people may use it if they can. It was matter, vast, terrific, not the Mother Earth that we have heard of, not for us to tread on or be buried in, no, it were being too familiar even to let our bones lie there, this home of necessity and fate." And thus ends his words. So I'm guessing that few, if any of you, have ever been to Enchanted Rock. Maybe you've never even heard of it, and that's okay. It's a state park in a fairly remote part of Texas, but it's a place I grew up going to regularly. It's quite possibly my favorite place on this planet. The rock, the thing it's named after, is massive. It rises 425 feet above the surrounding valley. But that's deceptive, actually, because the rock you can see is the smallest part of it. It's actually part of a huge thing called a batholith, which covers 100 square miles below much of west central Texas. That's a good chunk of the Bay Area, if you can imagine that. It's a single piece of granite, pink Texas granite, that is 100 square miles in size and almost unimaginably heavy. And so this is in the Texas Hill Country where Enchanted Rock is, and that's what nature is to me. And in fact, when we were looking at housing here in the Bay Area, that's one of the things that most appealed to us about Pinole, is it felt a little bit like that, with the trees and the hills and the streams and the grass. Looked just a little bit like home to me. It feels a lot more like home now. Now, this is not a place like what Thoreau was talking about. It's nothing like the woods of Maine. But it does have something in common, that sense of something we didn't make, but that was here before any of us and will be here long after us. So I know that Enchanted Rock is not untouched wilderness in any real sense, but it feels like that. And so maybe you have a place where you go sometimes, up to Lake Tahoe or just down to the bay or in your own backyard. A place that feels strange and familiar all at once. Because this world and this universe is so unimaginably large and amazing, it's more than any of us can fully understand or know, and that's okay, because too often, I think, we try to understand everything. But often understanding or thinking is not what we should be doing. Sometimes it is right to simply appreciate. It is right to appreciate and take in something wonderful, whether that is the majesty of our world and universe, or a great piece of art, or the wonderful music that we hear every week in this sanctuary. And so how then? Let's think about how we access that sense of awe or reverence. Perhaps it is in nature. But even so, we see amazing things all the time and we overlook them constantly. We pass on by with little or no thought. So we access awe when we stop. When we stop and really look around us. When we allow ourselves to let those surroundings come into ourselves, to fill us with awe. When we allow ourselves to be moved and to move our very beings. When we open ourselves to beauty and wonder, we experience that, and it can transform us for the better. This, too, is what being in religious community, what opening ourselves up to transformation is about. It's about allowing awe to enter us and to make us better, into something new and different, into a better tomorrow. And so there's this lovely poem by William Blake that's in our gray hymnal. It's set to music there, but I'll read you just a bit of it. It's actually many, many stanzas long, and the version in our hymnal is just a bit of it. But it's the first part that has always stuck with me. It goes like this. To see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, an eternity in an hour. Because I've experienced this, that we can see the world in a grain of sand. We can view the whole universe with wonder. We're called to be people, indeed, who experience that sort of awe. We have reverence for life and for our natural world, for the very act of creation and recreation that we see in our world every day. This reverence is the opening up of our very beings to something larger than ourselves. And so in those tiny fish high atop Enchanted Rock, I saw the entire universe. A tree at the side of the pool, the grass and algae, and those little fish skittering around the water. All the world in that little pool, in the middle of a vast expanse of granite that gently and then less gently slopes down to the earth below. So friends, I hope you take the time today to truly see the world in that grain of sand, or to look at a flower and see heaven here on earth, to find that sense of reverence in our world and within yourself, to see creation for the gift it is, a garden here for us to take in, to enjoy with all our minds and bodies and hearts. So find that awe and embrace it with all your being. May it be so now and forever. And amen.